The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I would invite you to take your Bibles this morning, and I'm so happy to have my Bible back. I think I shared with you that it was recently sent to the rebinders because it was getting floppy and I couldn't keep it all together. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah 56. We're looking at a passage there where Isaiah is looking into the future. And as you turn to Isaiah 56, let me ask you to think about this scenario. Let's say that you are alive at the beginning of the American Civil War. It's 1861. And civil war has broken out. And a saint of God who has a reputation as being a saintly, godly person, a person with prophetic giftings, comes along and says to you, okay, this calamitous thing that we are in will come to an end, but there is hardship ahead. And you're saying, well, yeah, that doesn't take a prophet to point that out, right? These are calamitous times. And the prophet goes on to say, after this civil war is over, some 200 years down the road, there's going to be another calamitous event. And then another 200 years down the road from that, there's going to be another calamitous event. And your head's just spinning by this point, I guess. And then he says, but sometime in the future, after that, a marvelous thing is going to take place. There's something to look forward to after that. What would you be thinking? What would be running through your mind? As I was pondering this, I thought, okay, prophet, fine and dandy, but I have a lot to take care of right now. I have to keep my family safe. The nation is being torn apart right in front of my eyes. People are divided, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor. There's north and there's south. I can't even begin. I mean, it's nice to think about the ultimate good thing, but you said that in 200 years there's another calamitous event, and then after 200 more years there's another. I can't wrap my head around that, prophet. What good is that? How does that help me in the right now? A very similar thing happened at the time of Isaiah. And in Isaiah 56, he's talking about an ultimate good thing that's going to occur. But let's do a little context for Isaiah first. If you remember your Bible history, you may recall that Israel was one nation. You might even say one nation under God. They were formed by God for the purpose of being salt and light. A light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles, right? That's why they exist, to be a priestly nation for the whole of the world. But in 950 BC, almost 1,000 years before Christ, they went to war with each other. And this civil war was disastrous. And unlike the American Civil War, the civil war with and in Israel resulted in two nations. There was the north and the south. And in the north, which was called Israel, which kind of complicates things, but stay with me, they had a separate king, in fact, a series of separate kings. And in the south, they had a separate set of kings, different capitals for both places. It reminds me a little bit of the American Civil War. And about 200 years after the Civil War, so now we're roughly in the 750 range or so, the northern kingdom was assaulted by Assyria. This foreign nation came in and destroyed the northern kingdom. So far, the southern kingdom is still safe, but the northern kingdom is being assaulted. And most of them are carried away into captivity, never to return. About 200 years after that, the same thing happens to the southern kingdom. The Babylonians come and they wipe the southern kingdom for the most part off the map. and they're carried away into slavery, into bondage, into captivity in Babylon. Now, you may also remember that the southern kingdom, Judah, does return from captivity after 70 years. But it is right in the middle of those events that Isaiah is writing this word, this prophetic word. He comes along about 200 years after the Civil War, and he says, calamitous things are coming. Northern kingdom, you're going to get carted off. Southern kingdom, you're going to get carted off as well. So not much good news there. But I do want to tell you, says the prophet Isaiah, about something marvelous that is going to happen in the future. There is going to be restoration. There is going to be a redeemer. And I want to tell you about that. Now, put your mind in the place of the folks who are alive at the time of Isaiah. Like my example with the Civil War, are you saying, okay, hold on, no. I've just seen our former comrades in arms, our former countrymen in the North carted off. You tell me that we're going to get carted off. I don't even know how to wrap my head around that, much less what am I supposed to be thinking about sometime in the future where some marvelous restoration is going to happen. I don't know that that's something I can wrap my head around, prophet of God. That's what's happening right here for us today. Now, can we take a look at Isaiah and apply it to our current times? I think we can. How can we be ancient future people as we listen to this word from Isaiah? One of the church fathers has this to write, and it's a wonderful example, I think, of how we can use this teaching from Isaiah. And in fact, this particular church father, whose name was Theodoret, was talking about this very passage of scripture that we're looking at today. And he says this, listen closely. The inspired prophets spoke not only of things to come, but also gave dogmatic and ethical instruction. What's dogma? That's true principles. So Theodoret is saying, yes, the prophets were talking about things that were going to happen, but they're also giving the people right then and there, in their own context, some good principles. He goes on. And they announced both judgment and salvation to those of former times, so that by the promise of good things and by the warning of pains, they might turn them from evil and point them to virtue. Well, what about us? What about us? What about Theodoret? Or us, for that matter? He goes on. One can easily learn from this present oracle. What does that mean? We can learn something from Isaiah. Those of us listening and reading right now, ancient future people, we can learn something. Here's what he says. For the prophetic word counsels Israel to be held by righteousness and to have uprightness as the soul's principle, and then adds the prediction of the Savior and the revelation of mercy. For both the moral and the predictive teaching point to our Master's appearing. So what's he saying? He says, yes, the prophet of God was speaking to the folks in his time, and he was giving them good stuff to listen to and learn from in the then and there. But he's also talking about things in the distant future, even in our own future. But at the same time, Theodoret is saying, because the prophet points to Jesus, then it's something we can learn and listen to as well. So as we read Isaiah, I want you to put on ancient future mindset. We're listening to Isaiah speak to his own people. We're listening to Isaiah say good and helpful and dogmatic and godly principles for them. He's also looking way off into the future, even our own future. But because he's also saying things that point to Jesus, we can take that in as well. So there's lots of good reasons to jump in and listen to this. Isaiah 56, the first verse, and then 6 through 8. This is what the Lord says. We ought to listen, right? This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Now think about that just for a moment. Isaiah is writing roughly 200 years before the southern kingdom falls. And he's writing, 700 years away from Jesus. And he's also writing who knows how long until the eschaton, when Jesus comes and makes all things new again. And yet he says that God says, my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Beloved, you ought to hang on to that with all you got. That ought to change the way we live right now. No, we can't say, man, I got way too much to think about. Our country's falling apart, north and south, brother against brother, liberal against conservative. It's all falling apart. I can't think about. No, the prophet of God says, this is what God says. My salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Okay, so what do we do in the meantime? How are we supposed to conduct ourselves as ancient future people? Look at verse 6 through 8. It says this, and foreigners, we're talking now about Gentiles. Isaiah is talking about people who are not Jews. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these will I bring, says the Lord. This is God talking. These will I bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them. Still others. Who's he talking about? People who are not Jews. People who are presently outside the covenant. I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Wow, there's so much there to unpack. Yes, Isaiah is writing at a particular time and context about some things that are going to occur way down the line. They don't know when. And as Theodoret says, we ought to listen to this because it also points to Jesus as well as being good teaching for us. And there in verse, 7 or so, we see already something pointing to Jesus. Did you notice where it says, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? Well, you've heard that word before. That comes from one of our New Testament readings for today, where Jesus goes into the temple and cleanses it. And he's so angry because they've set up these booths for selling stuff. Is he mad at commerce? Not necessarily. What's really happening is that these merchants have crowded into the court of the Gentiles. And he's saying, oh, beloved, you were supposed to be a light to the nations. And you've crowded out the Gentiles. You've made them give up their space on my holy mountain because you've set up schlock to sell. So Jesus is angry because they are in the way, literally, of fulfilling what Isaiah was saying was going to happen. And yet, he's also looking far into the future, where one day, people who are presently outside the covenant will come to God. And how are they going to do that? They're going to do it because they see the people of God worshiping God. And they are going to do that because they see those who do hold fast to the covenant. They will do that because they see the people of God honoring God and living for him, even in the middle of chaos. The church father Ambrose has a beautiful word on this very passage. He says this, whoever keeps my commands and chooses what I want and embraces my covenant will receive a place that has a better name in my house and within my walls. I will give them the eternal names of sons and daughters. Ambrose goes on, God promises others that they will not be deprived. Was anyone deprived of their own mother? Mary did not go without a family. even though she was, quote, the mistress of virginity. And just because she was not thought able to bear a man who had already borne God, what's he saying? God has something in mind that even seems impossible if we will be faithful and continue to offer right sacrifices, as it were, and worship God and keep covenant with him, then what we thought impossible, God will make possible. How is that? What is that? What's he going to make possible? He will give those who are outside the covenant promises that they will not be deprived. One other word, this time from Cassiodorus. He says this, as if you did not know that all human beings come from Adam, and that is written that the nations will believe in Christ, as it is said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. He says, listen, the saints were uncircumcised before they were circumcised, and Abraham, before circumcision, had faith, since there is one God who justifies a circumcision of faith, and he proclaims that each nation ought to be saved through the faith of Christ, that is, by faith in him. What's the church father saying? What commentary is he giving us for this passage in Isaiah? I think he's saying this. We have a prophetic word today in Isaiah 56. And it may be difficult to wrap your heads around. There's going to be a time of trouble. There's going to be calamitous times. That shouldn't surprise us, by the way, because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. And Isaiah says, but also I want you to look to Jesus. In his case, he's looking forward. In our case, he causes us to look in some ways backward to see how Jesus fulfills so many of these things. But Isaiah is also pointing to his own people and to us at a time in the future. And he says, listen, hold fast to this. This is what God is saying to you. Listen. Maintain justice. Do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. That's what we are to be doing in the meantime. Does it seem like nothing's happening? Does it seem like the only thing going on around us is, what, murder hornets and bubonic plague? No, God is at work. God has these things in control. And someday there's a glorious restoration in the eschaton when Jesus comes back and makes all things new. But in the meantime, we cannot give up hope. We cannot look at the circumstances around us, but we must live rightly, and we must do justice, and we must offer right sacrifices, as it were, as we worship, because Isaiah promises, God promises through his word, that others who are right now outside the covenant will see. And though they are, quote, uncircumcised now, they will be brought into the family of God because of our faithfulness to be a light to the world. Don't be discouraged. God's salvation is close at hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is eternal. It is ancient future. How marvelous that your word had plenty to say to the people of Isaiah's time and points wonderfully to the person and work of Jesus Christ, in whom all these things are fulfilled. And how marvelous that it also points to the future when Jesus returns again and uprights an upside down world and presents a whole new created order back to the Father as a marvelous gift. Help us to participate in that story rightly in the meantime. For your salvation is close at hand. And all God's people said, Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.